Vinagavalevu and Malo to the Tongan women. I believe I was told that the message was regarding the seven messages from the cross. And I think it was quite a lovely tune and best sung by women only without men. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My message this morning is taken from the gospel reading read to us this morning. The Fijian gospel reading, which was done by Maikali, I think is a bit different from the one that's written in our order of service. I believe it must be a print error or technical fault that misprinted the Bible verse, Bible reading. So please just allow me to read the Bible reading I need to preach on this morning. From Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 1 to 9. It reads, it's about the teaching about divorce. The teaching about divorce. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds again gathered around him. And as was his custom, he again taught them. Some Pharisees came and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." That is my topic this morning in regards to this commandment, where it's written in verse 9, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." The reading was regarding the teaching of divorce. For us, in the Fijian tradition, this biblical passage is much more like a restricted passage where it's not quite easy to interpret from. I quite hardly hear preachers preaching on this biblical passage due to the nature of it in regards to divorces. The main aspect of my preaching this morning is in regards to the relationship and the separation. The relationship and the separation. Last week, as I've already mentioned, we were ordained. There were four of us who have completed the requirements of the church to be ordained as presbyters of the Methodist Church of New Zealand. So that was the last process where one has to go through in order to be ordained. And the ordination is mainly regarding vows. Vows where we pledge, or where we promise or to fulfill an agreement with the church. A week before we were ordained, we went up to Auckland and had a retreat within some of the senior pastors, senior members of the church, the past president and vice president, the newly elected president and vice president of the Methodist Church. We were taught about or explained about the importance of making these vows to the church, of making pledges to God. We were taught the importance of saying, I do, or I will, to serve in the church. We did that not only to people that were present, not only that were people that were listening, but to the whole church, and importantly, to God. That is a vow we had to make, and as marriage does, till death do us part, so is our vows that we have pledged to serve the Lord until we depart from this earth. So I'll try to share this sermon this morning in trying to interpret it rather than being divorced as wife and husband, but from our spiritual engagement with God in regards to our togetherness with God and separation from Him. In marriage, before vows, there is preparation from both sides, and especially the relatives of those that are going to be married or are going to make vows together. For us, with the Fijian tradition, there is a lot of process that has to be gone with, to be done. Always the boy and his family seeks approval from the parents of the girl. In the older Fijian tradition, there can be rivalries where strong men are put first before approaching a family for the hand of the girl. Mostly nowadays, it's a bit smooth. There's not that much tension or not much resistance from the girl's part. For me, I did it alone. I went to seek my in-laws' approval to have Sarah, my wife. She understands that. And I believe that I was fortunate that I was received in good hands with the trust that I'm going to take care of Sarah. Otherwise, my in-laws would come after me. So that is the importance of preparation for this togetherness, for the things that had to be done before we are joined together, as in marriage. And there is also expectation. As I said, the church we are serving in as presbyters, we have vowed to do our job or to serve according to what we have promised. Before I left a week for ordination, I sat down with the presbyters during our ministerial meeting. I seek their forgiveness. I seek their pardon for me, for might be things that I have done. I may be naughty to them. I told them, I'm sorry if I was naughty to you or being cheeky. Since I was on probation, I was learning. I seek their approval for me to go before I made my vows to be truthful and to be clear of anything that might be hurtful to others. The expectation before doing these vows. And another important aspect is the conviction about these vows. Getting ready to make vows, you have to be convicted with yourselves in what you are preparing to do. There will be no more looking back in the previous lives or things that you have or we might have come across. Conviction includes sacrifice. We have to leave things that are not suitable for us to carry with us along the journey. Sacrificing also includes honesty. And importantly, also is preparing for a change, to transform from the old way to a new one. Acceptance of the changes to life leads to prosperity. From all those preparation, conviction, and sacrifices in a marriage ceremony or marriage part where a boy and a girl are joined together, that is also the same as our spiritual life where we are married spiritually to God. The requirements, the conviction, and the sacrifices that are needed is almost identical. There is no lying, no false promises, no argument, no pretenses, for example, in adulteries. As believers of Christ, I believe that it is very important for us to understand this concept of being committed to God like a marriage life. We worship and serve a God that we don't see, whom I'm interpreting today that we are married to. A God we have faith in. A God we seek to understand his ways so that we live accordingly. Most of us here today had already done these vows to God. We have prepared with trust, engagement. We have seek to be pardoned. We have commitments. We have surrendered and give our life to God. As I said, this is a vow that is broken only, can be broken only by death, when there is no life. As believers, while we are still alive and kicking, nothing can break that bond. Because we were joined together by the power of the Holy Spirit. We were joined together by God. God has accepted us into his kingdom. In our biblical verse I'm interpreting on, what God has joined together, let no one separate. We have our vows in baptism, sacrifices, and commitments. And to remain joined, there needs to be commitments and dedication, otherwise there will be separation. Separation from God is a sin. we sin when we separate from God. From a theological perspective, doing the wrong thing is not a sin. Separation from God is a sin. So it's parting from God when God wants us to be His, to be subjected to His will, and to be what we are intended to be from the very beginning of creation or of when we were created. We are created as God's image and expected to remain that way till the end. Unfortunately, today, that bond can be seen broken, and we see ourselves separated, maybe due to unforeseen circumstances, our selfishness, and poor decision-making. The way to keep that bond intact is repentant, total surrender, seeking forgiveness, so that we are accepted back to this kingdom of God. Thank God that God, our God, is a God of love. No matter how sinful or how far apart we may be from Him, He is always there waiting for us to accept our return to Him. No demand, no strict requirement and cost, just a bond or a marriage that needs a genuine conviction and a vow that only God, be the sole protector of. Life can only be achieved to God's expectations when we apply that simple concept of a bond, as I already mentioned, where vows are given with full commitments and dedication. Life will be meaningful with us when marriage between ourselves and the Holy Spirit are in genuine and committed bond. As mentioned, like a marriage vow, till death do us part, so be our spiritual, God-dedicated life. Amen.